Hey, today's episode is brought to you by Healthy Male. Just about every man over the age of 25 has experienced some sort of erectile dysfunction issue. And for some, it's more than just occasional. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. But guys, you can avoid the time and embarrassment of going to the doctor and going to get like some ED drugs like Viagra or Cialis. Just go to Healthy Male. That's all you gotta do. You can call Healthy Male. You can go to healthymale.com. They have been in business for over 20 years. They prescribed over 3 million prescriptions online.
That's a lot, y'all.
You don't gotta worry about going to like 7-Eleven and picking up some kind of janky, shady.
Yeah, y'all don't know what that is.
Something with that flame packaging that you don't know what this is made of. You don't have to worry about that. You won't wake up in the middle of the night with like cotton mouth.
And high, break out in hives.
Right. You don't have to worry about catching a heart attack. Most orders are shipped in a day with discreet packaging right to wherever you are. So your home, your office, your hotel, vacation destination, or even FedEx pickup location.
Yep. You don't have to worry about everybody going, ooh, I know what you got.
Right. And the best part, unlike most companies online, there's no subscription service that you have to cancel. So you don't have to worry about getting automatically charged every month, even though you've never, you know, you just wanted to get it one time. Mm-hmm. You only get charged for what you order.
Yeah, y'all know y'all be forgetting.
And right now they're offering our listeners 20 pills for $49, and that includes a doctor's prescription and free shipping. All you have to do is go to healthymail.com or call 1-877-4-VIAGRA. That's 1-877-4-VIAGRA. And be sure to mention our offer code TBGWT to get your 20 pills for $49. Requests for medication are not guaranteed and must be approved by a U.S. licensed physician. So call 1-877-4-VIAGRA to see if you're eligible and to avoid doctor's visits for your ED once and for all. Don't forget, mention our offer code TBGWT.
I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Stress was part of the reason we were slowly self-imploding. That I knew. Simply figuring out the logistics of any given week was enough to send my blood pressure soaring. And that was before I tore open the quarterly statement for our retirement account and was reminded we had saved roughly 1/10 of the recommended amount for a couple on the cusp of 40 who didn't want to work until they were both 103. As such, I wasn't always a peach to live with, and in response, the sarcasm like a weapon. There was a bigger issue, though. Most days, I had the sense that while I was frantically dog paddling to keep our family afloat, Sanjay was sailing by. Our short-term agreement had morphed into an indefinite arrangement. I was again preschool. Sanjay had applied for a few jobs at local publications and an arts organization, but hadn't received a single call back. He hadn't minded, though, because after years of dabbling, he had decided to pursue a freelance writing career in earnest. That was nearly 3 years earlier, and while he had just a handful of byline stories, things were looking up in terms of the number of assignments he received. But as he gotten increasingly engrossed in his writing, my husband had become markedly less involved in our household. I had waited so long for him to find something to replace what would have been his medical career that I didn't want to dissuade him from sticking to his official career plan. Even if I wished, I too could stay at home to write all day. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Sunday, actually. Mm-hmm. Doing feedback on a Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Oh, because we about to take this week off from the regular feed. Okay. Now that doesn't mean, I mean, there's still some premium stuff I gotta do.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta do This Too Much with Bossy. I think we're doing a Balls Deep this week, so like there'll be a couple premium things happening, but regular feed, hey, we didn't take a week off in November at all.
And we got like 3 games this week.
Yeah, and we got a lot of Hornets games this week, so I mean, listen guys, you understand. It's Christmas time. Y'all taking holidays at y'all job too. Y'all taking days off. And plus, do you really need our opinion on everything? But we have been working hard behind the scenes diligently, so there's still stuff to talk about.
Yes, it is.
Before we get into it, the official weapon of the show is
the taser,
an unofficial sport.
What about
a bullet ball extreme? Of course, there's feedback, so we're gonna get into all your feedback in a second. The quote that I got today was from the book I'm Fine and Neither Are You, which is a book well, it's a fictional book based off of like a Camille Pagan, I guess is her name. She's a best-selling author of Life and Other Near-Death Experiences. But it's a book about like a married couple and this woman who's just like really unhappy with her life, and her best friend ODs on opioids and dies, and then it makes her re-examine her life and her marriage and the fact that people put out an image of what is happy and what is how happy, how well they're coping when people aren't. And she had to examine her life and be like, am I like my friend, like on drugs? But clearly things behind the scenes weren't nearly as perfect as the way her life was set up to look. And why didn't she want other people to know that? Why didn't she want me as her best friend to know I could have been, you know, help and a resource to her? And the things she says and talks about her marriage, I always found kind of interesting, because it's one of those books where the stakes are lower than most books. So you never really feel like no one's gonna die. There's no murder mystery. There's no abuse or anything like that. But these are real problems people have every day in marriages. Yes, and lack of communication, lack of commitment, lack of understanding, lack of effort and equality within the household can drive people apart. And she was very resentful of her husband, who was supposed to go to medical school, but you know, things that he was miserable there, so he stopped and was like, I want to be a writer. She supported his dream, even though they moved from New York to like this state in the Midwest. She supported his dream, but then his dream didn't pop off. So now it's 5-6 years later, and here we are where you're an basically unsuccessful writer, and he's supposed to be like a stay-at-home husband, but she still has to do a lot of stuff for the kids because he's not really doing the stuff that you're supposed to do when you're the one that's in the house. You know, he's not cleaning, he's not cooking, he's not dealing with a lot of stuff with the children and daycare, and he's not making them lunches, you know, stuff like that that she ends up having to do. And then with discipline, he also lets her be the bad guy when it comes to discipline. So that was part of when she started analyzing her marriage and thinking of some of the reasons she was having resentment.
Yeah, and also when it comes to marriage, just I'm talking about straight marriages here, a lot of men add stress to women's lives. And when a lot of women go, it's like another child, men get offended. Mm-hmm. But it's literally like another child for women, because they're like, okay, I understand a child needing me, because you know, a child, they didn't ask to come into this world, you know, they were just born. I'm the parent, it's my responsibility to cook and take care of them. But you're an adult man, you know, and it's one of those things where we made this child together, so we should be working together as a unit. Because what's funny is how if the roles would have been reversed, he would have demanded that she did all those things. Mm-hmm. You know, but since it's him, that's quote unquote woman's work.
Like, and if the roles were reversed, she would have felt the pressure to do all those things.
Correct.
A lot of the stuff in their relationship was really about gender roles and archetypal. Anyway, people trying to fit types. There you go. And being like, this is what a man does, this is what a woman does. And what's funny is when each relationship is different.
Correct.
Power dynamics are different. The main thing you want to have is two communicating, consenting adults in a relationship. Well, not even two, you can have 12, but you want to have communication, consent, and you know, everyone being of age and stuff,
right?
And it's so funny how we all like can advocate for ourselves in our head, or maybe we can mm-hmm. go to work. And she had to learn how to advocate for herself. She had to learn, this whole book is like, even I'm sure I'll read other parts about her job and stuff, like she had to learn to stand up and to be like, no, I want to be treated a certain way, I should get this thing because I earned it, that kind of stuff, because she was a woman and she had it drilled into her head to be a certain type of nice, a certain type of way. And I think even in a relationship, it can extend to that. Like, I have to be a certain type of nice. Mm-hmm. Even in this space where I'm at home, I should be comfortable. I'm not saying you need to be mean or rude or whatever, mm-hmm. but there should be enough comfort and love here for me to be honest and to say, hey, I love you as my husband. I'm glad you're here. you're here all day and you don't clean up. You're here all day and you don't, you know, I come home, I have to cook. You cook, you're here all day and, you know, I'm the one raising the kids and I feel like I'm in this by myself.
Right.
And I shouldn't have to worry so much about your ego when you're the one not doing that work. And, you know, in the book, it's kind of a best case scenario because Sanjay turns out to be a pretty, like, woke dude and he had his own insecurities about the relationship too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about his role, because he felt inadequate and he felt like a loser.
Yeah,
and
a lot of men do in, you know, those situations.
And it was that silence in the room that he's just like, one day she's just gonna wake up and like fucking leave or something, because I'm a loser, I'm not getting enough done, I don't have a job, this isn't working out the way I thought it was. And it took her bringing that up for them to even have those kind of conversations. I love the book because of that. It's so the opposite of like so many rom-coms and type movie, because it's not about a rom-com like a meet cute and then a misunderstanding and whatever. This is more about like salvaging a marriage, like rejuvenating something that you promised to do already, and salvaging yourself and her gaining her own confidence and advocacy. And you know, like they do a lot of cool stuff in the book. Like they come up with a list of things for each other to do, and you know, she kind of fails at the list and he does great at the list. Like he starts doing all the stuff she wants him to do like pretty much right away, and he does it well and thoroughly and all this stuff. And but it's funny because when they get close to the end of his list stuff was like, the first one was I want to have sex more often, that which is like the hardest one for them. Then the next one was like,
yeah, because a lot of times that's the first thing to go in the relationship,
right? That connection. And then right. The next thing was like, I would like to you to advocate for yourself more and be truthful. So that's like a thing he's saying to help her out, and you would think, oh, this is easy, and then that was very hard for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that. So I really like that book. But yeah, that I think a lot of people are in situations like that where, and let's not even say stay at home.
Mm-mm.
You work 40 hours, he worked 40 hours.
Come on.
You still end up doing all the work in the house.
So everybody is away. So that means nothing's getting done at the house. Nothing. Y'all gone, the kids gone, it's an empty house.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's amazing how, like I said, and I put it like this. They've done studies, and we've read it, where a woman's work week is like 160, 180, 200 hours. And people be like, wow. Yeah, because she worked 40 hours a week. Then she comes home, she cooks, and she cleans and all this other stuff. And the thing is, sex is a part of a marriage. It's a part, you know, part of a relationship. You know, most people, they want to be intimate with their mate. The average person does. But when your mate is tired because you don't allow them to have the energy to fuck you, it becomes a problem. And then the other person gets mad. Like, oh, don't you want to fuck me? Bitch, I've been on my feet for 15 hours today.
And because we keep looking at these white patriarchal goals of what relationships are, it's all this like, a man is supposed to provide enough and mow for the house, and then the woman, part of her taking up the slack for the fact that she didn't go out and into the world and make this money, I'm the one making bringing home the bacon. Part of that is, oh, I'm gonna cook the bacon and I'm gonna fuck you and I'm gonna take care of the kids and I'm gonna be in great shape, I'm gonna do all this great fucking shit. But then we look at the world's not that way, and especially for black people. You know, especially for black people. Black women work more than men, many times more educated, many times earn more than men. Then even in the case that, say, a man does earn money or earn more, it might not be enough to provide a you stay at home life. Not to mention, a woman might not want to fucking do that.
Yes.
So, you know, so you have all these different layers, but we're all looking at this shit from like this 1930s white man world of, you know, I make the money and you stay home and pop out these kids. And I think that's part of the pressure that even now we still put on ourselves in 2019. Men put it on themselves to be that provider, and that's why they feel like failures and losers, and they stress out, and they feel very insecure about women making more money than them.
Mm-hmm.
And all this shit, because they've only learned to provide money and nothing else to the fucking house. And then that's why women feel like, even though I'm working, I need to get home and make my man a meal. I need to get home and not make myself a meal, not cook for the, you know, but I need to do these things for other people, for the family. I have to clean. I have to, you know, I have to be this like Martha Stewart holding down a 40-hour-a-week job and all this other shit. So that pressure, I love how the book doesn't turn it into like men are trash and women are great. And it turns it into like, I've done some of this to myself. You know, I've broken promises more to myself as a woman than I have to my husband. Like, these are things that I'm supposed to stand up and believe in for me. If another person told me they were going through these issues, this is what I would tell them to do, and I'm not doing these things.
No, and also I think you hit on it. For a lot of women in the working environment, there are rules and regulations. In most jobs, there are rules and regulations, and then you have people you can go through, and you've been doing your job for a long time. So, you know, in most cases, most women can advocate for themselves in their jobs. At least they do more than at home.
Possibly. I don't know. Not always. We talked about that and done these studies before, too, where women, they ask for less, they make less, they expect less at jobs, too.
Yeah, that's true, too. And a lot of women will actually take lower paying jobs if it is more family friendly.
They won't even apply for a job a little above their qualifications. Like, women will cut themselves off there.
Like, I'm guilty of that. Like, I like
most
like,
women,
like, that's what I can say I'm very guilty of. I wish I had the courage and the balls of a mediocre white dude, because he'll be like, fuck it, I don't got the degree, I'm apply anyway. Fuck it, I don't know how to do it, somebody gonna I mean, like, a lot of them got a fuck it attitude. They was like, I don't give a goddamn, I'm going to fucking apply for it. And for me, I'm more apt, like, they're going to scrutinize it, they're going to look, they're going to verify my degrees. Like, ain't not too many niggas gonna get no jobs where they don't check to be sure that, you know, that you are what you say you are. So that's why I'm like, I don't lie about shit, because the second I lie, somebody gonna come and scream and I'm gonna lose the fucking job. Like, I just get inside of my head, you know, when it comes to that. I'm like, well, I don't know, so since I don't know, I don't want to walk in there not knowing, and all of a sudden it'll be a problem because I don't know. When you're white, you're just given the leeway, and you're allowed to fail, and you're allowed to fall when it comes to that. A lot of women, they feel like they're not allowed to. I remember you and Justin was talking about how a lot of women ask their men to, like, do certain things, particularly computer things, the things that they're not well of, and they just won't learn how to do it. And you was talking to Justin about that, and you was like, a lot of women do that because they're not allowed to fail. Like, in certain shit, they have to know everything. If they don't, they get scrutinized, they get torn apart, they, you know. But when it comes to certain things, men, even in the black household, sometimes they're allowed to fail. They're allowed to be like, this shit, I'm gonna go learn about it and fuck it up. But for a woman, you know, anything that she does is quote unquote outside or considered quote unquote man's work, you know, all of a sudden is something she quote unquote can handle. So a lot of women, and I'm guilty of it too, just tap out and be like, fuck it, why am I wasting my time learning it?
Well, we also support men who fail in a way we don't support women who fail.
Correct.
You know, like, when a man fails, there's, like, everyone's supposed to be a support system to boost them back up and say, try again. When a woman fails, it's like, you're not a good woman anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's the sympathy and shit isn't there. Like, look at a woman who does anything that looks bad as a parent compared to a man.
Come on.
Like, it's completely different the way that like, a woman can, if a mom gets drunk or something and does something irresponsible with her children, it's like, you violated the terms of being a woman.
Right.
If a man gets drunk and does the same fucking thing involving their own children, it's like, well, you know, he's trying, he's in their lives, he's a, you know, he wants, you know, there's people that defend Future still to this point, you know, in public. Like, it's like, but we wouldn't, I don't know any woman, I don't even know, like, Drea's still catching hell. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know any woman that I've ever seen be redeemed, quote unquote, or forgiven for any moment that was bad with their children.
Yeah, because that boils down to the first time something happened. I know people, and I've done this before too, and I'm starting to change my mind. First thing you go is where your mama. Mm-hmm. Don't nobody ever go where your parents, where your daddy, where your caregivers, where your caretakers. It's where your mama. And a lot of times that is the problem, because it's more than a lot of times more than one parent there, but everybody puts the responsibility on children and they just heap it all on the mama.
Yeah, it's real. All right, let's get into this show. Okay, this is the feedback show for the Blackout Tips. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We read them on the show. We'll be reading some today. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport.
Oh,
we already did this. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
And Bullet Ball Extreme.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can email us theblackouttips@gmail.com. You can leave us voicemail 704-557-0186. We got one. As long as it's 2 minutes or less, we'll play it on the show. You can go to our website, The Black Guy Who Tips, leave us comments, vote in the polls on each episode, leave comments on your votes in the poll. It's all meta like that. You can also donate to the show on the front page, theblackouttips.com. Look on the right hand side, hit the donate button. A special shout out to all the people that are now premium, yearly premium members, because we had our Black Friday, our colored Friday.
Mm-hmm. I see some of y'all clicked and was like, oh,
our ADOS Friday sale, where you get
our Negra Friday, however you want to say it.
You get a year of Black Friday. You get a year of premium for $100. And we had some people sign up for that. Some people that were month to month changed to a year. Some people say, hey, for the first time ever, I'm about to get me a year. So thank you for those who were quick on that. For those that are behind on episodes and didn't look for, I'm sorry you missed out. Okay, be on the lookout for other specials. Okay, maybe there's another day coming up soon where we'll run that special for another 24 hours. But yeah, so you gotta check the feed, you gotta check your social media, all that stuff. There's also Black Friday sales on our gear at the T Public store. I saw people buying merch, like, mm-hmm. Shout out to you, gonna have some fun Christmas presents under the tree. Maybe you just want somebody in your household that does love the Blackout Tips to like have their own like shirt or mug, mm-hmm. or notebook or some small token of your appreciation with faces and slogans on it. Check it out, you know, it's right there, tpublic.com. What else happened? Also, I put out a movie review, a movie review. I went and saw Queen and Slim, and I did one review by myself. It's a solo review. It's on our feed now for the spoiled movie review, like the feed that's out there for everyone, because it was a review I did last month, 2 days ago. And then I have one that's behind the paywall, and it's with me and Bossy, that we just reviewed Queen of Slim as well, gave our thoughts on it. It was a nice, long, in-depth review. So hopefully people will check that out. There's been a lot of controversy about that movie online. Mm-hmm. The one thing I'll give it is, unlike the Harriet controversy, a lot of it is from people who did see it. So, I mean, what the fuck can I say? I can't make you like a movie. I said that with Harriet, too. If you saw Harriet and didn't like it, I understand that too. My man Chris saw it and didn't like it. I just thought it was whack that people was, you know, lying on the movie and saying shit that didn't happen in the movie and being like, don't go see it. I haven't seen a petition to stop people from seeing Queen of Slim. So, mm-hmm. Although, you know, these niggas is mad and complaining about Lena. So, it's what they do. It's what they do. All right. Let's see. What else was I going to say? Oh, and of course, we're taking holiday cards. So email us, theblackouttips @gmail.com. If you want to get a holiday card from us, mm-hmm. email us your address.
Yes.
And we'll send one. And our address will be in the show notes for this episode, as well as a link to our Amazon wish list and all that stuff. So if you want to send us a card, if you want to send us a gift, if you want to just go on our Amazon wish list and pick something, all those things are available, mm-hmm. to you. You know, and now I can get like Kindle books on there and stuff. So I'm super excited about the wish list. We'll see if it, you know, if it actually comes through this year. What else? I feel like I'm missing something and I don't know what it is. I'll probably hit everything. I don't know. Close enough. All right. Close enough. All right. Let's get into, what?
I think that's everything.
Yeah, I feel like I must have hit everything. I'm probably just being paranoid. This too much is tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, me and Bossy. So I don't know.
Okay, yeah,
that's about it.
Okay, I think that's it. You talked about the sale. I think that's it.
All right, cool. Let's get into the people that did take the time to like go on our website and give us money to donate to this, whatever this is, to be like, hey, I would like you guys to just have some money to exist and do what you do, and continue to bring me the heat, you know, a premium person. Maybe maybe I just fucking love y'all and mm-hmm. I just want y'all to have all the monies and mm-hmm. get y'all black capitalism on. And to that, of course, we always say thank you.
Thank you.
And we give people a shout out for taking the time out to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Spotify says, I'm going to pause real quick and just think about this.
The client stopped.
For a while. I don't think I hit an extra button, no. I'm scared to hit the button again because it stopped.
Did they sit down?
I dedicate this song to recession.
Oh, see, that's why I was scared to hit the button, because it looked like it was playing and then it just wasn't anymore.
We seen Jay from Queen and Jay.
Oh yeah, we went to dinner with Jay two nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great time.
Had a good time with her.
We talked podcasting.
She's tall. Everybody taller than me.
Yeah. You're not that short, as she said. But yeah, we had a great time mm-hmm. talking podcasting and life and
mm-hmm.
all kinds of stuff. So it was fun.
It was.
Got to take a picture and then we put it on all the social medias and everybody was all like, oh my God, my faves together at the same time. I was like, this is dope, you know?
Yes.
Shout out to y'all and that black love.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we'll look
at unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. New day, new pay. Jason F., recurring donator, thank you very much. Lanika M., we also would like to thank you. Cause you didn't have to, but you came through, Lanika.
Mm-hmm.
And then my phone says, hey, you know what? I'm gonna need to load this next one up for a while. All right, Tyrone M. Thank you, Tyrone. You better call him.
You better
call him. But you can't use my phone. Mm-mm. I just want you to understand, Tyrone. All right, so this is gonna be a thing with my phone today. All right, Terry W, thank you so much to Terry for hooking us up with the recurring donation. And why it's like the iPhone gets a month old and just like fuck all the stuff I used to do easily. All right, now this is off to an auspicious start. Oh Lord Jesus, help me. Kirk Franklin, what is happening?
I don't know, but smile.
I'm trying to smile, but I'm very upset by my phone being like, fuck it.
They singing it. It's hard to look up when you look down.
I'm trying to look up, but I kind of looked down at my phone to see what the name is. Alright, well that's canceled. Alright, I'll just give... You guys will get shout outs during the middle of the show. Like it's all right. Okay, Eric M, attitude check, Bronco Pride.
Yes.
All right, and then in five minutes when the next one comes up, we'll go to that.
Embarrassing us in front of company. See.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about star reviews while the next email takes an hour to load. Waste Bees by Sura, and we'll get back to you in another time. And also I meant to mention, don't forget, y'all, December 5th. This is Janelle James Comedy Festival.
Yes.
In Brooklyn, New York. I know a lot of y'all went last year. She gave us like a shout out.
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned us on social media. If you go out there, you heard of it from us, like let her know. She was supposed to be on the show today, but she had schedule conflict. She couldn't make it. But yeah, check out Janelle James and like her, she keeps adding people to this comedy festival every year and big names come through the time.
I'm here.
Shout out to her. Janelle, how is Janelle here? What is going on here? I think she's on a train right now or something. But yeah, man, shout out to her because like I said,
and I would go, but we too far. Like I'd be jealous of y'all. I'm not gonna be lying. They be having shit. I'd be like, oh damn, I'm too far.
That's our people. So yo, go out there, show up, show out, you know what I'm saying, and represent, you know, like in a good way. Yes, don't go out there way. And heckle no comedians or be yelling.
Don't go out there and show
they
your
don't
asses.
Need your help. They don't need mm-hmm. your help to do the show.
Mm-mm. They don't need no assistance.
Clap when appropriate. You know
Laugh
what I'm saying?
When appropriate.
You know what I'm saying? Go over, you know, give them a shout out, like buy a CD, take a picture with somebody
buy
and say,
t-shirt.
You know, let them know, like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm heard about you on the Blackout Tips, man. Mm-hmm. We appreciate y'all to take the time out to do that.
Show love.
Yeah, so make sure you guys do that. Back to this, back to these 5-star reviews, as in the background, I'm trying to get to y'all's motherfucking donations. That Alexander M, shout out to you.
Thank
and,
you, baby.
We'll get to the next person in an hour or so.
Dostry
J. Alright, cool. Now it's going along. One every 2 minutes. Alright, let's talk about y'all's 5-star reviews. We got a couple since the last time we did a feedback show. We got one from Rabizis 313 who says, ha ha, 5 stars. Been rocking with y'all for a little over 4 years. I got my 5 in a while ago. But I've been meaning to Debo my wife's phone for a minute now, and I finally got it.
Come on.
She love y'all too, so it works out great. She's my sexy best friend. Shout out to me Vita, Rebecca. Love you, bae. And Karen and Rowan. Wow. Tried to think of a new one. Well, it is new. Love y'all too. Y'all are truly a blessing to me and all of us out here in the Blackout Tips Nation. Bless up. Shout out to you for going through your wife's phone, not looking for cheating, like going through it for a positive cause. This is the type of stuff
shout
I want
to
see.
The sexy wife love.
I want to see this type of stuff in relationships. Okay, no more going through phones looking for dick pics or titty pics,
telephone
or,
numbers,
you know, who the hell is Jamail, like none of that. Go through the phone.
Who is Tyrone?
Go through the phone, log on to iTunes, find our podcast, leave us a 5-star review from their phone. That's what I want to see. Okay, that type of trust and love in a relationship, that's beautiful. Sunday's episode 5 stars is the next 5-star review. Is from Deja 29 who says, I just want to say that I truly enjoy your show. You guys are within my roster of podcasts I listen to daily. This episode speaks volumes surrounding the shift in relationships between fans and artists. There's always been entitlement, but it's on steroids because of the accessibility granted by social media. I've been adamant on not engaging in harmful behavior for the sake of laughs. It's amazing to see people turn on Summer Walker and Lizzo. I worry about that shit all the time for everybody. Like
for everybody. Because everybody, most people think that this never gonna be them until it's them, and then it's a shocker and it's a surprise, but that's the way to end. It's like somebody got to go into the machine. Somebody got to. And so even if it's not to their scale, somebody got to go into that machine. The machine is like a bottomless pit, y'all. And one day something's gonna happen. You're gonna say something, you're gonna do something, somebody will snap a picture, and next thing you know, you're in the machine. Because it's real easy to participate throwing people off when you've never been thrown off before. But once you get thrown off one good time, you be like, oh, this is some fucked up shit.
I think it's also like a part of this culture of like putting these people on pedestals they didn't ask for.
Right.
Like, yes, they did ask for, you know, they did want you to be entertained by them.
Correct.
Yes, they did want you to enjoy their product. Like, so if you're doing stand up, they want you to enjoy their stand up. If you're listening to their music, they want you to enjoy their music.
Right.
They, you know, whatever this thing is they're doing. You're an actor, they want you to enjoy their movies. What they didn't ask for was, and now we want you to feed us every day with content. Even when you're not working, we want everything to be work. We want your political opinions. We want your relationship. We want your relationship opinions.
We want to be able to harass you and you not say nothing to us.
We want to approve of who you're married to.
Mm-hmm.
We want to approve of your children and your parenting techniques.
Right.
People just keep feeding and feeding and feeding. There's no fucking line where they're just like, no common decency in some people
to
where they
like,
just go,
I've gone too far.
Yeah, because you don't even know that kind of shit about your own friends and family sometimes.
Right.
Like your own friends and family will be like, I ain't bringing Ricardo around you. You know, that ain't none of your business. And we just go, okay. You know, you got an aunt that showed up with somebody at Thanksgiving y'all ain't met because it's not your fucking business. But if it was like Beyonce, we expect to know her motherfucking business, right? And so, it's funny because people then, once they put you on a pedestal and they start, especially these woke motherfuckers who, look, woke people they have a purpose, but fanship ain't really a good one.
Nah.
And because they can't reconcile the idea of people being human with the idea that they like something,
right,
they have to start ascribing all these values to themselves via you. So what I'm saying is, because I'm righteous, that means everything I consume is righteous. And once you get to that point, you get angry when a motherfucker let you down. You can't just be like, Lauryn Hill said something I don't agree with. No, it has to be, I don't listen to Lauryn Hill no more. It's canceled for me or whatever. It can't just be that Erykah Badu gotta get canceled or whatever. And then what's funny is, time shows that these woke motherfuckers don't even have the wherewithal for that. So no. They'll say something like it's canceled, but they're not really. And it's never a big hit on the star financially. They never really get disappeared. I have to go anywhere.
Nope.
So now you just have all this anger and resentment because Erykah Badu doesn't represent your politics 100% of the time, whatever the fuck they are. And then it's this conflict and this obvious hypocrisy because they're still around. You're still consuming a lot of their work and stuff, though,
yes,
claiming
you are.
You're not.
Right.
Because the numbers don't lie. And so you end up with all this like animosity that makes it thankless to be a fucking to give people these parts of you. I wouldn't do it if I was these stars, and I respect the stars that really cordon themselves off away from motherfuckers. Because can you imagine if someone like, especially young as Summer Walker and Lizzo and these people are, can you imagine if these young black women were really taking it to their heart that they thought these people had their best interest in mind and really really did support them and love them and shit?
It would be devastating.
It's gotta be devastating when the people turn around and now there's a new woman and you ain't shit. Or now you can't do nothing right. There's nothing you can say. Cause once the internet decides your ass is a bad person, it's nothing. You don't even have to do anything. Lizzo didn't do shit. Like, Lizzo just won an award. She couldn't make herself win that award.
She didn't vote on it.
Didn't say not a one bad thing about Ari Lennox. Still hasn't. And yet somehow turned into fuck Lizzo. So like, I hope they're not taking these I hope they're not taking the fake love into their heart as real, because then when it turns into that hate, it's gotta hurt, you know? Anyway, I was told that I was too angry when I was talking about that, so, you know, sorry. Das Kapitalist, 5 stars, says, great show. This is by Jermian, who says, Rod and Karen are securing all the bags. This show is incredible. I have been listening for a long time. Not afraid to say, when I started listening years ago, I was a half a hotel. Mm. Well, you know what?
You
came all the way back from the brink, okay?
Come on.
You didn't go full.
I'd rather you be half than full.
Could have been worse. Rod and Karen give insight to current events and give nuanced takes instead of hot takes. Everyone needs to listen. Thanks for the show and continuing doing what you obviously love to do.
Thank you.
All those reviews were from the United States of America, by the way.
Yay!
So, you know, we got international reviews. We'll read those as well. Just let us know. And then we got one new 5-star review on Stitcher. This is from Detroit retiree Sims, 8 days ago, says, 5 stars. In my opinion, this is the best podcast that you can listen to if you are looking for open-minded and free thinkers. Rod and Karen tackle everyday issues and news stories by giving opinions and views from their intelligent and well-thought-out perspective. Recently, the show has added to their beginning segment passages from books that they are currently reading. I believe that this has elevated the show to another level. Oh, shit,
we elevated.
Yeah, we trying to just go to the whole number level. That's all.
Oh, shit. Now, we didn't do music this time. Sorry about that, y'all.
Yeah, I forgot to play Reading Rainbow. But I mean, you heard the sound, the issues we were having with the sound earlier. Do anybody really want to go through that with us? I don't think so. Also, I keep forgetting to check my phone. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, he also
shout out to him. We met him. Shout out to him.
So, you know, shout out to Jasmine A, as also a recurring donator, and we'll get back to those when they start. Deborah O, she also donated. All right, we'll get back to those. Detroit retiree Sims goes on to say, I believe this elevated the show to another level. For me, making a great show even better. It has inspired many people, myself including, to pick up a book and start learning about African American history, the effects of social media on society, and even graphic novels and comic books. Hey,
graphic novels! Yay!
I gotta figure a way out to quote graphic novel. I wish I could quote the graphic novels I'm reading, the way that you can with prose in Kindle, because you can't really highlight graphic novel panels and be like, I want to read this on the show. But I just finished World with Nahoke, everybody ass, and I'm reading now the one where he got sent away, because I never, when I was younger, this back when you had to like either collect comics or buy the graphic novel, and that for some reason I got some of the comics but not all, so now I can read the story in its completeness.
Yay.
So I try to read shit like that between these serious black ass novels I'm reading.
While I read Gumball.
Yep, I read that too though.
That was
cool. You read it because of me.
I did.
All right, back to this though. I recommend for those who are new to this podcast to listen to the weekly recap feedback shows that are aired on Saturday. The recap / feedback Saturday shows cover the daily shows of the week in a short period of time, which will give you a sense of the overall content and theme of the show. Rod and Karen have given a gift to those who listen to this free show, which they produce about 5 times weekly for 1 to 2 hours. Please, Rod and Karen, keep up the good work. We will.
Thank you,
Detroit retiree Sims. And the last one, we got a 5-star review for Black Guy to Sport Movie Reviews, which, like I said, go check it out. We have new reviews up for that feed right now. Like, I'm trying to think what all I just put on there. I know Queen of Slim is on there, but there were some other movies that came out last month that I'm sure people wanted to get our opinions on, including like some black ass movies. Matter of fact, I'ma go on there and check them out, because
Janelle says she auditioned for Queen.
For Queen and Queen of Slim? Mm-hmm. She would have made a good queen. But see, I can see Janelle being funny. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I can see it turn into a whole comedy.
But you know, comedians also can do that motherfucking
come on, they can be doing that,
do that
acting.
Serious shit, and you be like, oh, this nigga's acting, you know.
Come
that
on
shit.
We be looking, Janelle be having us crying and shit, right. Like, I didn't know she could do this to me.
I'm not prepared.
I'm laughing and crying at the same time. I'm not ready.
All right, so these are the movies that I just added that you guys may enjoy. Okay, these are some controversial movies that people want to hear our takes on. So Joker, I review with Chris Lambert, comedian. We talked about that, and you know, Chris, we got to rambling about a bunch of bullshit too, how woke niggas be ruining reviews for movies. Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, me and Karen did that one. I did a solo review of Zombieland Double Tap. Karen and I did Terminator Dark Fate. I did a solo review of Harriet, and a solo review of Jojo Rabbit and Queen Slim. So you guys got all that on the feed. Leave us 5-star reviews is my fucking point. All right. Yeah, go to the spoiler one and leave 5-star reviews there too. That's a lot of work.
So y'all left 5, leave 10.
Right. So Rissa of the Way, shout out to our girl, says, slept on, 5 stars. I love these reviews regardless of whether I've seen the movie or not. They often encourage me to go back and watch movies I passed up. Right now I'm watching the Marvel Universe in sequential order and going back and re-listening to the reviews. 10 out of 10 would recommend. See?
Yay!
That's another great reason for our spoiler reviews, is that if you are a person that appreciate that doesn't want to be spoiled, it makes your ass get off your couch and go see the review, so you won't have fucking spoiled movie review. You'll be like, okay, I saw the movie, now let me see what this nigga talking about. Because we spoil the movie like right away. So like, if you just trying to play with the big dogs and see what we got,
we don't give you no 5. They'll be like, we give you 5 seconds. We be like,
yeah, Bruce Willis dead the whole time. All right, so
the
listen,
whole time.
So listen, this is how the movie went, right? That's how we do it. So
we bust in, be like, they killed Malcolm X. All right, let's move
right
on.
So all right, let's get to the comments on each episode. We didn't get any comments on our feedback episode, which was best podcast in the known universe, not hyperbole, but we did get a comment on the poll for the episode, which is, do you see your family for Thanksgiving, yes or no? 70% of our audience does see their family for Thanksgiving. 30% do not.
Yeah, I can see if people lived out of state or was far away,
bunch of reasons, maybe you just don't like them niggas.
Or you like, you know what, nah. Or you know what, you like us, our tradition now is we go out because I'm
yeah,
like,
but that's still seeing our family, so that
I mean we see our family,
yeah,
but some people may want to do that, you know, instead of the traditional thing.
Yeah, I didn't say if you do a traditional Thanksgiving, just do you see your family, yes or no. The thing I think is interesting here though is I keep seeing on Twitter and Facebook, and I keep laughing, but I don't say anything to these people because I know they either mean well or they're like so woke, they're performative. But all these people that keep saying, this is funny every time to me, by the way, so I'm letting y'all into my brain, don't judge me. Every time I see somebody talk about you need to go home and like argue with the conservative or not woke members of your family and drag them, I laugh every time at the idea of like someone going home to ruin their Thanksgiving, like after all the travel, whatever the logistics is, right, the cooking, all the shit, to ruin your Thanksgiving for strangers on the internet who will never know if you did or did not do that, who don't know your family and don't give a fuck.
You better stay your ass at home then and then eat some McDonald's.
I want to know what change is happening from this. Because I feel like what's happening is a lot of people, the 30% of people that's not going to see their family, are telling the 70% that are to ruin it. You know?
Right.
Like, if I got to be stuck here by myself, you need to go in your house, slap your mama in the face, and say, bitch, vote for Obama. Okay? This is how we doing it. Okay? I keep it real. Or you not a real ally. Okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe you think you woke, but you ain't really woke. Like, that's how it feels to me. Like, just go tell your uncle Black Lives Matter and then just throw the fucking potatoes right in that nigga's face. I'm like,
just go in the kitchen and turn the greens over.
I'm like, am I the only one that has like a realistic expectation of whenever my family gets together that not all these niggas are like bleeding heart liberal progressive motherfuckers? Like, am I the only one that expects that you gonna have that?
No, they're not gonna keep, even the person putting that out there, they're not gonna keep that same energy. They're gonna be quiet. They're gonna be eating their yams. They dressing and whatever else they're gonna be smacking on, and they're not gonna say shit. They just want you to embarrass yourself.
Part of the charm of the Black family unit is that ignorant ass relative that you all roll your eyes at. Mm-hmm. That's part of the beauty. You got that one uncle that love the Cowboys. We all got them. Like, it's Paul, oh, here he come with this bullshit, you know? Oh, he about to ask all the women in the house, are they about to get pregnant and have some babies? It's gonna, you know, that one uncle that look a little too hard at your girl that you bring, like, this, oh.
Yeah, you were like, am I gonna have to fight you, unc?
Right. Like, everybody got that problematic, you know, that aunt that called the Cowboys, the Cowgirls.
Right.
And shit, like, everybody has it, and yet you go to Twitter, nobody has it. Okay, my family is so woke, they all would vote for Obama 3 times. You know, everybody got a Republican person in their family. Yeah. Everybody. Your whole life you've been rolling your eyes like this nigga. When he come around to give you some advice on anything, here he go with the bullshit. Okay, like that's, only Twitter is the only place where niggas are encouraging fights offline that they won't even witness. For what? For you to go back and report to them, guys, they made me eat outside, and then they gonna clown you. My mama took the plate out of my hand and said, get the fuck out the house, and we gonna be like, yo, dumbass really went there and told your mama that shit? Like, come on. Oh, that's the best.
I had to go get a hotel for 2 whole days. They kicked me out. Yes, nigga.
Let these niggas go over there. Man,
yes, because you came in here and you turned the turkey over that I had to thaw out and brine. Nigga, you gonna get the fuck out of here.
I will absolutely sit across the table and be like, this nigga is acting stupid, and make a face at the smart people at the table like, we both understand that this nigga is stupid. Mm-hmm. That's all I need.
Yeah, and I'm gonna look but like, pass the gravy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. More cornbread.
I don't expect anybody to do it. It's funny, but everybody's like, who's checking these fucking scorecards? Because that's the other, they'll be like, listen, if you white and your family, anybody in your family voted for Trump and you don't go in there and fucking say something to them, I'm like, how do we verify that this happened?
You can't.
They like, now they just sitting there eating this green sad. Well, they don't eat greens, eating the stuffing sad. Now they just sitting there eating the stuffing like, I should have said something. Rod told me I'm not a good ally. I don't give a fuck, man. Enjoy your turkey and then leave, because them niggas ain't, that's the other thing, none of these motherfuckers coming around. Who's the person that's like, man, I'm gonna tell you when I got woke. Thanksgiving 2017. I'll never forget it.
Changed my life.
My nephew came, he said, Grandpa, you remember how you've been saying niggers your whole life? Or Uncle, you've been saying niggers your whole life?
I mean, I remember.
Stop it. And I said, God damn it, I never thought of it that way.
I remember he sliced the ham and gave it to me and changed my life. That was the best piece of honey baked ham I've ever had.
He put a little bit of gravy on my potatoes, and then he looked over to me and said,
Black Lives Matter. And I said, I get it now. I'm not, fuck Trump. What was I thinking? I just no one had ever said it before. Like, get the fuck out of here. Just like, I'll tell you what you can do. If you want to help out people, like, at your Thanksgiving and the woke people, just keep changing the channel from Fox News. That's all I ask. That's a simple one.
Or either you smart, make it so it's blocked.
Yeah, when they put Fox News on, you know what I'm saying, you just be like, oh, ain't the game on, and just switch it to the game. Y'all do know that that's why football comes on for Thanksgiving, right?
For real.
Football comes on for Thanksgiving because don't nobody want to talk to these niggas about shit. That's it. Oh, look, the Lions is playing. No one even like the Lions. Mm-hmm. They's always sorry. But at least we're not talking to each other. That's the promise we made. Don't ask me about how many kids I'm gonna have. Mm-mm. Don't ask me.
And you know what? That's why they have three games. They have the ones that actually start on time at lunchtime, 12 and 1. Then they have the second group of people that start a little late. Then they had the last game for the niggas we don't get started until 5 o'clock.
And you know, if you black, you eat during the second game.
Right. Second or the third game.
White people eat during the first game.
At noon.
The first game starts at noon. White people eat then. And black, if you black, you supposed to eat at noon, but you eat during the second game. It's kind of the rule.
Yeah, they like I said, they get reared too far behind. You eating the halftime of the second game, start of the third.
Yeah, but listen, I'm not saying don't say anything. What I am saying is don't say anything on my behalf. I don't give a fuck.
Not on my behalf.
I wish I would ruin my Christmas presents for you niggas. That's the other thing. They want you to ruin Thanksgiving with the people that's supposed to give you Christmas presents. It's a big setup. Don't fall for it.
Don't fall for it. You gonna walk in there, nigga, and all the sweet tea gonna be gone. It's gonna be a big old sign. No, nigga, you can't drink this. You better not drink a goddamn drop of my sweet tea.
I'm just trying not to get your Christmas presents ruined. Y'all niggas gonna get socks and ties and underwear and shit.
Come on.
'Cause you went in there and told grandmama that she a bigot to her face. I'm telling you.
You gonna get t-shirts.
I'm telling you, man, be careful. Okay, these woke niggas are not gonna get you nothing for Christmas. Brooklyn Shoe Babe also left a comment. I got Thanksgiving this year with my kids. My ex will get Christmas. It was the most perfect day I've had this year. I cooked, my daughters cooked, we watched TV, and we napped. After dinner, my daughters played music, danced with each other, and played hand games while I read. My two teen daughters are usually trying to beat each other up, so definitely a perfect day. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's like out of some, one of those novels type of. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they were full and sleeping tired. That's why they ain't had an injury to beat each other up, baby.
Like, Netflix will option the rights to that day because that was such a perfect black person day.
I know that for Netflix and all the streaming services, it went through the roof. Everybody's like, you know, I got that Disney Plus. Put that shit on for the kids.
No, I'm talking about just her personal day. Netflix make a movie off of just how dope that day was. That's nobody's Thanksgiving. Nobody's Thanksgiving is that. We played music and danced and everyone cooked and chipped in. Only thing you left out was, and like, we all cleaned.
I know, and we laughed.
We all cleaned. I let them use the dishwasher. It was perfect. All right, we have comments for episode 2001, Black Capitalist. Janica says,
hold on, nigga, 2000 episodes. Can you believe that, my friend? Like, that's still hard to believe. Like I said, y'all know we don't keep count, but we was like 2001. I was like, oh yeah, we did cross the 2001. Mm-hmm. We some hard.
I brought it up on that episode.
But it's still hard to believe. Like, it's still hard to believe that I got a niece. So I'm sorry.
All right. Well, you know what? We're gonna play some music after this. And we're gonna dance to Thanksgiving. So it's gonna have us a moment of black joy. Janica says, I'm so glad I was working from home when I heard this episode because I screamed when Karen said that she had that piece of tissue hanging from her, laughing my ass off. I hate the bathroom in my job because it's usually dirty. There's so many stuck up white people there, yet 2 weeks ago I went in there and someone shat on the damn toilet. I was so fucking mad. People are truly gross.
Yes, yo. They are, particularly in the women's bathroom. It's like meant that, but not until you seen the women's bathroom. Like I said, I don't have a penis, but I remember the first time we was watching F is for Family and the little boy did the trough. That's the first time I ever seen a fucking trough, because, you know, I've never been to the boys' bathroom or the men's bathroom. So I was like, the fuck is this?
Yeah, I worked in fast food, and part of my job was to clean the bathroom sometimes. And that'll make you lose a lot of reverence for a lot of people, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's really when I became a feminist. because I was like, oh, these women is equally as nasty as these niggas. This is gross. Like, it was terrible. They like, you take all the illustrious shit out of the whole equation.
Yeah, like they said in chat room, they don't wash their hands. And on top of that, you got to deal with periods and bloods and pads and tampons. Like, it is fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the not washing hands because I'm not in there. I was never in there when women were, washing their hands clear. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just there to clean.
I think that's just a people thing.
Yeah, but yeah, there's nothing worse than a nasty ass bathroom. Miss Smart says, as you were talking about how the general black public treats our young black celebrities, I started to think about how treating people as if they are disposable happens similarly in dating. Mm-hmm. Every new person is the greatest until they aren't, and then they're replaced by the next better thing, sometimes through slow gaslighting. When the discard happens, the discarder gets pissed. If the discarded actually expresses displeasure, becomes unavailable, saves, etc., much like when these young ladies decide to have a reasonable reaction to the trauma and the public causes, leaves, makes their talents unable and save themselves. The same public that caused trauma and discarded the young women get pissed at the women. Mm-hmm. So basically the community is pulling some brand of narcissism. Yeah, you know what it makes me think about? How everyone has those social media posts where they be like, you know, something real petty and hateful about their ex, right? It's always like, you know, oh, that feeling when your ex gained 50 pounds, ha ha ha, or, you know, when you see your ex need a ride home and you just drive past that nigga, you see him catching the bus or whatever, right? And it's always like, but that ex probably got ex posts about that person. I don't know which of you niggas is right. Both of y'all could be crazy. I don't know. You know, I saw a video from a woman that put out a video of like a dude she had fucked. And then it was a comedy video. So she was on the phone, like, making a date with another nigga, and it panned over, and this other nigga was still in the bed. And then she was like, listen, you can either be in your feelings or be in my bed. And then he pulled the cover up, like, he was. It was so good. It was so funny. And everybody was retweeting. And then whoever retweeted was like, if you're not doing these niggas like this, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I mean, it's funny. But if you are doing niggas like that, that is as fucked up as niggas doing it. Like, it's still fucked up. Like, right. You know, but I think people, I don't know, they kind of like, really value, like, demeaning somebody else for people's pleasure.
Correct. And I don't think other people's entertainment.
Right. And you would think to some level it would stop with intimate, like, romantic relationships. Cause it's like, why would I want to stay on somebody that I was interested in for an audience? But it don't stop, man. Motherfuckers are savage with this dating shit. I'm so glad, because I could not handle that. I don't have the ego to handle somebody shitting on me in public to make like a joke about my relationship with them. You know what I'm saying? I don't have it in me. I wouldn't do it to them.
Right.
So then to have it done to me, I would probably be very that shit.
Right. And also, I know I'm built for the way a lot of people date now. I'm not built for everything being recorded. I'm not built for intimate moments being recorded. I'm not fucking built for that. I'm like, motherfucker, we're gonna talk, and it ain't meant for goddamn online. Like, every second of my life is not meant for everybody's fucking entertainment, because even though we're together, I'm not gonna be quote unquote woke all the time, because I'm a growing human being. I'm not gonna say the right thing all the time. You're not gonna say the right thing all the time. And how can I fucking grow with you together as a couple if we're always allowing these outside entities that don't give a fuck about us to put their opinions on the relationship?
Also, what are the rules to when you can share this shit and not? Because I see people sharing private exchanges sometimes from like either a dating app or like text between them and a person or instant messages, and I'm like, what are the rules for that? Because when is that fucked up and when is it not? Like, when is it a gross violation of my privacy that you share something, and when is it not? Because like, people have different barriers for what they consider to be like the egregious thing. Because sometimes you'll see people that are just wrong. Like, somebody will say something like, I can't believe this woman actually asked for a picture of my license plate on my car before we could go out. And then people will be like, why did you share that? And yeah, she don't want you to be a serial killer, so she might be wanting to da da da. And I'm just like, couldn't all of this have been private? Couldn't you have just been upset in private and been like, I don't want to go out with her, she already thinks I'm a serial killer? Or could you have not shared it, you know what I'm saying? Or what, like, could you not have been in your feelings? Or when you share it and then everybody jumps in your shit, be like, oh, I didn't see it that way. It's never like that.
No, and also, something somebody brought up, I'm looking. I also think that we live in a society now where feelings are bad, if that makes sense. Like, any type of feeling are bad. Right. So a lot of people get hurt and they don't know how to handle getting hurt. So I'm hurt and I'm mad, so now I'm put your titty pics out. Now I'm gonna put now I'm gonna put all this shit, these private moments that right. was meant for us, I'm put it out because of my hurt, because of my pain. Women do the same thing. I'm hurt and I'm mad and I don't know how to deal with these emotions. I don't know how to digest these emotions in a private place and in a private setting. I don't have friends that I could call and talk to, like real friends. They'd be like, bitch, don't put that online. Or nah, bro, don't put that online. Like we've lost that circle of people around you that aren't yes men, that are like, this is not logical. Them people that will prevent you from just doing ignorant shit, that's kind of lost from everybody wanting to perform for the internet.
Yeah, I think also the thing is, like, people aren't making being hurt look good. Like, it's not looking good. Like, no, it's not, because you know what I'm saying, like, it's not like like, it's not like you look at that and go, damn, I wish that was my life. Like, people out here doing really fucked up callous shit to each other and then like laughing it off. But I'm like, you know, you're kind of laughing in that, like, I'm hurt way, like that mean, like, I'm like, ha ha ha, I'm over it. And you're like, nigga, you ain't over it.
You ain't, like, and the thing is, you
this
can
nigga crying
tell,
in his car.
Right, by the way the person's responded. And like I say, because the way my mind ticks, I know that I'm not built for this, because I can't speak about y'all, but it's gonna be a motherfucking problem if intimate moments, you know, that me and you have shared is on, because it's to the point now where you go, okay, let's say I do get up with somebody, I'm single, I do get with somebody, we get intimate, people so foul, how do I know it's not a recording device in here recording us? Like, I don't know, because people aren't truthful anymore. I don't yeah. know, because I don't know you.
It's just wild, like, because I'm like, some of my closest communications with people come from like text, instant message, DMs, you know, shit like that. I can't imagine screenshotting somebody's shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, we disagree, and guys, let me tell you what this person did. But that's like a common thing now. Like, motherfuckers disagree, and then it's like, and let me tell you, back in 2018, she didn't like Rihanna. She said Rihanna was a fat bitch, and I got the DMs to prove it. I'm like, what is happening? But yeah, I think people even do that, even in romantic situations. Like,
they do, and that's the kind of, and to me, that's the disadvantage of the internet, because everybody. It's like, well, I'm open about everything, so you expect celebrities to be open about everything, quote unquote. And the thing is, some people are telling the truth, some people not telling the truth. Like that's the thing. You don't ever know. Some
that's
people are performative.
Thing. We don't know.
Yeah. Right. Some people are there telling you the truth. For some people,
yeah, but we don't know.
Right.
There's no reason for us to know.
Right. Yeah. And so since you don't know for certain things, it's just best to just keep certain things offline.
But yeah, I do think, I think another thing that fucked up the dating game, I shouldn't say fucked up, people are always fucked up, you know, it's dating. Another thing that's kind of made it seem worse is that so much of the interaction happens through apps now, and apps by nature are about quantity over quality for the most part,
right?
So, you know, swipe right, swipe left, yeah, you know, all this, you know, do you like me, check yes or no shit, it's got people, like, you know, being their most superficial selves all the time for other people. So you got people out there that's putting out folks pictures and being like, look at this ugly motherfucker thinking we can date. I think not. And also screenshots it into my Instagram. And so I think that shit is making people more ugly. The poll for this episode was, does the bathroom at your job have liners?
No.
Yes, no, or I work from home. 54% yes. It's
that's
higher
a good
than
thing.
It's higher than I thought it would be. 37% say no, and 9% say I work from home or don't have a job. That's me.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't got a liner, at least have some Lysol, some spray, some wipe, just something so I can wipe the toilet down.
You gotta get a bathroom kit, which then announces to the world you're using the bathroom every time you get up.
Apparently so.
That's what everybody got. Everybody should bring a bathroom kit to work, and it's just got like a bunch of, like, it's got wet wipes, it's got like
it's like
really,
a bucket, you know how they had like the cleaning bucket when you pick yeah. it up, it's like a bucket,
Yeah, but like something fancier than a bucket. A bucket looks nasty. I'm not something that like almost like the cases people have for when you have a baby and you have all the stuff for a baby in there, like Pampers, bottles, something like that before the bathroom. It's like it's got Lysol, but like it's got like Pine Sol, but then you took the Pine Sol and poured it into like a really like cute not Pine Sol holding spray bottle.
Yes, it could be like a makeup pouch.
Yeah,
type of thing where you can zip it and like I said, y'all, if we ever get skits, when you get ready to go, you ought to reach in your drawer and pull it out and it to glow, and then you open it up and then it almost blinds you. Oh,
right. I just want like a vanity can. It should come with like a Bluetooth speaker to cover your farts, you know, because you're gonna need that.
Come on,
it should come
soundproof, so y'all know when you pull the strip off for your period, it don't echoes across the whole bathroom.
It should be all like just straight up like stylish, you know what I mean? Like luggage. I want it to look classy. Okay, we're trying to have class sophistication. I want it to come with the good toilet paper, like
come
the
on
one,
we talking about four ply. We ain't talking about no one or two. We talking about the good one,
the toilet paper that y'all, you know, you spring for, where you like, it's a banner day, my asshole will be treated with like Kim Kardashian's butt today. Okay,
yes, you put it up and instead of Pine Sol, it'll be like lay Sol,
right? Like it comes with like, yeah, potpourri, incense,
lay
like,
wipes,
like all kinds of stuff that just like it comes with all these other ideas that are just like just the master scent.
They'll be like, why is there window clean in there? I want to be sure that everything is spotless.
And then that way no one can shame you for knowing you're going number two, because it's like, I am in fucking luxury, you simpleton, you broke motherfucker. That's right, I'm gonna be using the bathroom with no worries of disease or embarrassing smells or odors or my hands or like being disaffected or y'all hearing my farts. I'm gonna be in here listening to fucking Whitney Houston on my Bluetooth speaker attached to my luggage case.
Come on.
And with the disposable, like it's gonna have like a replaceable disposable bottom or something, so whatever you sit it on, you can get rid of that too. So you're not bringing no diseases.
You know, the whole time it'd be like, oh, you know, that the music be going on in the background while you doing this whole
setup. I'm just saying, it's gonna play classical music or contemporary pop.
Come on, one of the two, you pick.
So soft rock, okay? All right, we got comments on that one. Alicia says, fun fact of the day. Other countries don't even have toilet seats. European countries, white people, nasty. LOL. Just a commode, as my grandma said. What? Also, Karen, I hear you. I don't have the upper body strength to lift my small child to hover over the toilet. So now I just tell her to stand on the toilet and squat. She is good for having to go number two in public, and no, she can't hold it. She like to take her sweet time, too. Shaking my head. Yeah, I haven't thought about what y'all do with them children.
Right!
I don't know what you do. You just gotta lose your dignity, I guess.
Right, because most kids have to sit.
Yeah, that's terrible. Shout out to Janine Redfield and Mary H and Omai A. Y'all, the next people that my phone loaded.
Y'all the real MVPs.
Ms. Barnes 72 says, at my job, we have bathroom serial killers. These heifers would just desecrate our bathrooms, taking monster dumps and not flushing, or clogging up the toilets, taking menstrual products and trying to flush them, smear feces on the wall, just disgusting. Nigga, what do you work? I come from Salem? What? But the greatest offense was not washing their hands. Well, yeah, I think if you smear feces on the wall, you should probably wash your hands. These hoes won't be so bold to go out the stall and keep, will be so bold to go out the stall and keep it moving. I'm thinking this is a level of hell built just for hoes. Yes. Oh God. The nerve to use a nasty bathroom and still be like, I think I don't need to wash my hands. Mark says, no liners in my office, at least not in the men's room. I have never been able to get one of those to stay affixed to the seat anyway. It is a beast though. I hate that. Like, I need the liner, but the liner is not the business. Because it's like the hospital gown of protection, you know?
You know, it's like the low quality condoms.
I need like a complete disposable, like, toilet seat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you
I want
you get the thicker
seat.
Ones, you good. You get the thin ones, you be like, mm-mm.
Yeah, it's the worst. Like,
you
I
be
now,
like, who made this lifestyle?
Now I got a combination of liners. Mm-hmm.
I want Trojan liners.
I've never been a get one of those stay fixer to see it anyway. I would rather drive all the way home than deuce it to office. I understand the guys are going the morning, go in with the morning paper or their smartphone ready to clock in for business. Yeah. That's a specific type of lazy. The people that are like, I am just here to get paid to shit. You know?
You know how I game.
Like, that's a specific brand of laziness you just don't see often.
Yeah, but I got up just in enough time to barely make it here, and now it's time to shit.
Episode 2002, Why Biden Keeps Winning, was the name of that episode. We had one comment, and then, of course, we had the poll. And let me see if some more names loaded. Rachel H., you're the next contestant on my phone. Is finally loading one at a time. So the comment was from Iman, who says the Black Capitalist segment had me rolling. Hope y'all had a great holiday, Iman. Thank you.
Thank you.
We did have a great holiday, and I'm glad that you liked that segment. A lot of people was on Twitter talking about they liked that segment, or on my Facebook page, and now I guess they're more in on the joke when I share these articles on Facebook and put that capitalist in there. Did Jada mess up by not physically murdering T.I. live on Facebook? Yes, she should have killed him to send a message. No, then she would be throwing away her life for nothing. Or maybe just stab him a little bit, but not murder him. Karen?
B.
So, no, she would have been throwing her whole life away for nothing. Well, 35% of the audience agrees with Karen. 12% feel like she should have killed him to send a message. And 53% say maybe just stab him a little, but not murder him. I understand. Amon says, I mean, if you can't trust your friends to shank you, are you really friends? Nigga, you done messed up. Shank. T.I. in hospital, and the doctor said Jada missed all his major arteries and organs. That's why I know sis cares about me. I understand patriarchy now, a term I never heard before.
Yeah. Oh, did you know they have toilet seat covers that fits over the whole toilet, baby?
I didn't know that. Maybe you should invest in some for your job or send it to your manager and tell her to buy some for everybody.
I wish I could.
Mark says, to quote Sophia from Color Purple, he ain't worth it. Let that man do right by his daughter or live in his shame. Either way, it's on him. I guess. I mean, but the other thing is that Jada want that content. I mean, y'all niggas know them clicks count.
Mm-hmm.
They good. Red Table good for getting a good guest.
That's their job. That's their whole job.
If you black and you get in some controversy, I mean, they got to be on the short list of places you can go. And let's be frank, the other people on the list are not places any of you niggas respect. So let's be real.
Mm-mm.
If T.I. goes to the Breakfast Club, none of us is like, they'll put them to task.
Mm-mm.
None of you niggas did that shit. Oh, Steve Harvey will set the record straight. Like, get the fuck out of here. That's the best place to go. It's the closest you're going to get to what y'all want. And the other places that y'all really, really think they should go, nigga, they are never going there.
Of course not.
Any place where somebody would literally read them for filth and tell them they ain't shit is a place them motherfuckers will never be. Nigga could have been on Joe Budden podcast. Y'all welcome. Y'all should thank Jada. All y'all should write her a personal letter. Like, you did the best you could, because we know the alternatives was way worse.
Come on.
Brooklyn Shoebe says, T.I. going to get what he deserves. Jada out here living her best life. She doesn't need to mess up for that fool. I wish there was more of a pushback regarding the idea of moms controlling daughters' bodies. Parents care for their children by feeding them, dressing them, making sure they are appropriately prepared for life. The hymen thing is beyond that. Shaking my head. This hits a nerve, and I can't really think too hard about it without getting emotional. Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. I do think the hymen thing is beyond the pale, obviously, right? But I also think there's some legitimacy to with girls feeling like their bodies were controlled by their moms on a way that wasn't fair to them, that was not something that was placed upon their brothers and other siblings to that nature. So I can see how it would be like, shit, we all know moms have, there are women that are like, my mom did traumatic damage to me over my body developing and changing and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see the idea of women enforcing that same patriarchy, but in a different way, and society being more okay with it. Like, there are women that are yelling at their daughters like, keep your legs crossed and your mouth closed and shit, yeah, like that. And
no TNA.
Yeah, don't wear this dress out. Don't wear your hair like this. Don't wear this certain type of bra. So like, I can see how there's something there. I don't think it's the same impulse as like, you know, I equate what T.I. did more to like, chastity dances and shit. You know, those motherfuckers that make their daughters promise them chastity until they meet the man they're gonna marry and shit. Like, that's how his shit felt to me. Now, maybe he felt he was just protecting his wife, blah, blah, blah. It felt creepy to me. I feel like that shit is way too far. But yeah, I think there are ways that women do it that we let it go. To go, that's a woman telling a girl the same thing, but it's a woman saying it, so we can't really say anything. So anyway, that's what I think. But who gonna tell a woman, tell her daughter, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's just different for women. It's not, T.I. has a point, it just doesn't make what he did okay.
Correct.
But I see how he got to that point, because he don't think about this, or he's not trained in any of this. He doesn't give a fuck about this shit.
No,
he's just like, well, how come women get to do it, you know? And the truth of the matter is, fair or unfair, because they women. That's the real truth. Some people, you know, some people in our listening audience now have traumatic damage from the way their mothers treated them as their bodies changed and developed, and the idea that boys may become interested in them, and it wasn't always good. We talked about it on the show, we've read stuff about it on the show. It's not just men doing this damage, but the idea was pale. It's easier for us to single him out and be like, yeah, you're crazy. But the impulse and the idea of protecting a girl from the world by restricting things about her and policing her body, overly policing her body, that ain't a man thing. That ain't gonna die with T.I. That's not gonna die with Tiny. That's not gonna die with whoever's listening to the show that had it happen to them, or the people passing on that legacy. That's the same way I think people need to break the chain of like beating kids and shit. You should break the chain of like policing your daughter's body like that. Like, it belongs to you, not her.
Right.
Episode 2003 was the last one of the week. Wife Wars. We'll be reviewing Walking Dead some when we get back. M. Lagman says, I love the opening of this episode. I think it's why I really enjoyed the book excerpts to start the show. The reading sparked a theoretical and historical discussion, and then moved to present day examples, and then your own personal experiences with the concept. Perfect. I really got an understanding of things, and it got me thinking. The podcast in general is a fun show with lots of laughs. Don't get it twisted. You guys are geniuses at your craft. Sorry to the listener who isn't digging the book stuff, but I hope it keeps on going. Best, Mary. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we started with we talked about the Black resistance and how it's changed over the years. Robert writes in, I have to start back listening live in the chat so I can help y'all pronounce these confusing ass Louisiana city names, because there's always an article about some schism happening here. Yeah, my favorite thing is that we never can pronounce that shit right because we ain't from there. Mm-mm. But let's be real, even if you was in the chat correcting us, it's gonna just be fucked up. I'm not gonna get it right, and I'm never gonna remember. So it's probably like, take it as a little joke for yourself, like, oh, they don't know how to pronounce that, that's cute, you know. Maybe that'll make people realize that we just two niggas giving our opinions, and not to be so upset when they disagree. We don't even know how to pronounce Baton Rouge, okay? We just making shit up. BSB Babe says, love the new Black capitalism segment, especially Karen's reactions. Ah! Yeah, Karen is not with my agenda so far. But by hook or by crook,
maybe I don't get the joke. I don't know.
I'm gonna get this socialism in the show. Y'all gonna see. I'm also still enjoying reading Rainbow because it lends itself to conversations. Keep it up if you can. We will.
Thank you.
Yeah, the only way it won't keep it up is if I stop reading. And then I'll be like, I don't got nothing to talk about. Who was Patrick Patterson calling a bulldog? That was the poll. Still.
That man's wife.
For me personally, still probably the funniest. Story that we covered all week, and there were some funny stories, but man, that tickled me so good knowing that dude did not really mean to get as much smoke as he got.
Mm-mm.
Too much dip on your chick? Anyway, don't matter now. The poll results are all Black women.
Duh! All of them.
That man's wife.
Dumb B.
or don't matter, he getting fried.
Well, B and C.
All right.
Can you pick more than one choice?
Nope. Only one. 15% say all black women. He called all black women bulldogs. Okay. 33% say that man's wife, which is probably the correct answer. But then 53% say the answer that I really would go with if I was picking. It don't matter, because he getting fried.
It don't matter.
You shouldn't have said nothing about nobody, man. Your ass got cooked. It was so good.
It was so good. Did anybody else pop up on the thing, or we finished?
On the thing?
On the,
on my phone?
Yes.
I mean, we got other segments to get to, but yeah, sure. Stefan H popped up on my phone, and now it's loading for Shanna, our girl Shanna.
Hey,
she shipped us up. And Jonathan W, Jonathan H, still loading. Okay. All right, Corey B, we had one voicemail to play for the show. You can leave us a voicemail, 704-557-0186, and we'll play it on the air as long as it's 2 minutes or less. We only had one this week, but we appreciate the people that time. 704-557-0186 is where you leave the voicemails. But yeah, if you go over 2 minutes, it cuts your ass off automatically.
Yeah, it's pre-programmed, y'all.
And then it looks real awkward because you got to call back.
Hey, Rod and Karen, this is Brett. It's been a long time since I've called in, but I just wanted to congratulate you all on your 2000th episode. Man, I'm so happy for you and your wife. It started out, I guess, just a dream, and I've seen you all grow your podcast, change up things, and I wasn't there for the first one, but I've been listening a long time, man, and I appreciate you. I don't always agree with you, and that's one of the reasons I like to listen to you, man, because through you we've learned that all black people are not a monolith. All people, we have different views and different stances, even as African, even within our own community. And so through you I've learned to look at things from someone else's perspective, and I just appreciate you, man. So have a good one, man. Here's for 2000 more. Take care.
Thank you.
Goes way back with the show. Appreciate you listening. Thank you for congratulating us on the milestone. And I mean, me personally, you don't have to agree with me. I definitely don't feel like, you know, if you listen to the show, you're gonna agree with everything I say. But I will say this: if you don't agree with me, you are a coon. So
that's not a true statement.
Because I mean, I'm not saying black people are a monolith. I'm just saying all the niggas that don't agree with me are basically Stephen A. Smith. Mm-hmm. So
that's no,
you know, I say stop shucking and jiving for them white folks and just agree with me on everything.
No, that's not a true statement.
Wow. Okay. Well, Karen, I guess Karen's trying to have your back for some reason. I don't get
I'm trying to be reasonable.
Yeah, I personally don't understand what
the views
doing.
Expressed by Roz are his.
Well, Karen, right now you sound kind of like a coon. Okay, the way you going over
but
there.
But I'll just be a coon. Do, 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 do.
Yeah, I can see that, because the way you going over there trying
to
defend
this
coon.
Like this in capitalist.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to defend this coon, and now you got me
I got my tap dancer shoes on. You
want to
see them?
Baby, won't you take me there? I want some real good food to eat. I want shucking it down. Shucking it, shucking it down. I want shucking it down.
I don't mind.
Tariq Nasheed was right. alright, let's but nah, seriously. Yeah, no, who the fuck agrees with everything anyone says
I
these
hope
days?
You don't.
Shout out to Andy S. Darwin M. Appreciate you. And now I gotta wait on the emails to load for my regular thing. Okay, Mr. Spade. But yeah, so you can email us to theblackoutist@gmail.com. We're gonna read those now. Nurse TikTok, this is by Rhea, who says, hi Rod and Karen, weighing in on the we can tell when you faking TikTok video and the reaction from the masses. My initial reaction on watching the video was to chuckle. As a healthcare professional, you develop a different type of humor, one that is often morbid and would seem inappropriate to those not also within the field.
I believe it comes from dealing with the sick and dying on a daily basis. We also deal with the not so ill people just as frequently and probably think we can spot someone faking as a result, hence the chuckle. Yeah, I think, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they have a word for that and I forget what it's called.
I understand that doctors probably do the same thing, yes.
Yeah, but I remember we did an article about,
it's almost like a disconnect.
We did an article about ambulance drivers or something, and they did a joke that got them fired, but then like the article explored this concept. When you work in these jobs that require you to see shit that where motherfuckers die every day, you start finding humor and joy and like trying to normalize it in your brain, and sometimes it takes these horrible, obviously offensive like what's funny to you is not funny to everybody because of
right
that.
It's one of those things where within the group it's one thing, you get outside of that group, the general public like, this ain't funny.
Yeah, I forget what it's called. It's something with empathy. But anyway, the more I thought about it, though, the less funny and more concerning I found the video. The issue I and a lot of other people have with the video is that despite occasionally having the urge to roll my eyes if someone's complaining of pain, anxiety, feeling weak, or whatever it may be, it's our job to assess the patient and that complaint and intervene. The idea of dancing to the beat of someone's shortness of breath is just off-putting. People die every day because of medical and nursing mistakes, including what is called a failure to rescue, which is literally a healthcare professional not recognizing the situation that leads to death. Everyone makes mistakes at their job, no matter how great a worker you are, but our mistakes can mean the difference between life and death. And while I realize it was a joke and it wasn't meant to be that deep, the joke seems to have hit a spot I wasn't aware was so sensitive. Welcome to Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Twitter.
All the jokes hit a spot that you didn't know was sensitive. Why the chicken cross the road? Nigga, my mama was a chicken!
And she wasn't able to cross the road.
I need a trigger warning for these chicken jokes.
And a white car hit her.
Mm-hmm. You ain't say nothing about the classism of that, sis, but we're not ready for that conversation. Maybe it's the result of being a black woman in the field, but I'm very aware of the discrepancies in the quality of care we receive. Anecdotally, we, the blacks, do die more often from preventable errors. We are often undertreated for pain. We are scrutinized more heavily. When we complain, doctors do test us more frequently for drug, alcohol use. Literally, the very night after first seeing the video, I went to work. I had an argument with a nurse, also black, who was hesitant to medicate someone for pain because she was not really in pain. Yeah, we talked about that all the time on the show. Serena Williams, Beyonce. I had asthma as a kid. Many people, I wrote a whole thing about it on Medium. I guess I'm just at a point where I'm looking around at my field and other members of the healthcare team and wondering how these same people would treat me and my family members in the event one of us was complaining that we couldn't breathe.
Right.
Which in turn brings to mind Eric Garner. No, it wasn't nurses that ignored him, but still trained professionals who should have recognized a critical situation. This whole society seems to just dismiss the pain and suffering of others, and it feels like her video slapped a lot of people in the face with that. Yeah, I mean, people made it about being black, and even though she's black, people made it about, like, this is because this, like, there's no reason that we really should feel that she meant, I want to mistreat and ignore the real symptoms of black people.
Right.
But when you put something out there like that in the environment that is today, and especially on Twitter, that is what it's going to become, whether you fucking meant it to be or not.
Right.
Because we like to make everybody shit about us, and black people be on Twitter a lot. So it's like, your shit might have just been a ill-timed bad joke about anyone. Now it's about the black maternity death rate, because that's what the fuck we deal with. And to that info, add to that info that's floating around that she's a mental health tech and the stigma around mental illness and a mess. Yeah, is that info real? Is that verified? Because, you know, Twitter, you don't know. These motherfuckers be saying shit. You gotta verify that shit for real. Mm-hmm. Anywho, thanks for reading. Thanks for the show. You're one of my favorite podcasts, definitely my favorite podcasting couple. The work you do is valuable, keeping us stressed out listeners company and making us laugh. I appreciate you and have gotten quite a few people hooked on your brand of fun. Feels appropriate that my first email was to response to episode 2000. Congrats on another milestone. Keep up the excellent work. Rhea. Thank you. Yeah, man. And I mean, I just listened to this podcast, American Scandal, and they talked about the Tuskegee experiments, and they ended it with an interview of this black woman who's a journalist who talked about the black maternity death rate. So these problems are systemic. It's not even just if black people care for black people, even other black people can be callous towards black people. Mm-hmm. not believing in black pain, not communicating and taking people seriously when they tell you they're in pain, when they're experiencing certain things. I mean, all these things are real, and they're just now in 2019 exploring the idea that, oh, it's race. Like, it's not income, it's not lifestyle, it's race. White women who make a certain amount of money in a certain type of shape have a much lower mortality rate.
And numbers don't die. Somebody was like, wow, look at all these black people dying and these white people not dying. What is the factor that's causing these extra deaths?
Numbers don't die. Exactly.
Numbers don't lie. My bad.
No, that's actually better. But then also the other thing was, even when you account for who the fuck, like, is taking care of somebody, none of it really matters. And America in general has a higher mortality rate for women in pregnancy than other civilized, what is the right, industrialized countries than other ones. So even with white women, they still die at a much higher rate in this country than other places. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's a systemic thing. Amber says, reading rainbow with a rainbow emoji. Let me tell y'all something. First, I listen in my car, so often I'm not able to pull out my phone and file for email to y'all when I hear something I want to get feedback on. But since there's been a lot of talk about the reading rainbow and I have a free moment, I wanted to share my thoughts. I gotta say, I did agree with that young woman that said she reads a lot and that she gets bummed out by the excerpts. I read a lot and I'm quite knowledgeable about a lot, if not most, of the socio-political topics covered on the show, and it can get kind of depressing to have to be faced with talk about this stuff all the time. But then I had to slow my roll and remember that, one, it's not about me. Two, there are people that can and are benefiting from the Reading Rainbow segments of the show. Yeah, not to mention, the other thing I'll throw in there before I finish reading this is, you also know about the topics of the day and our socio-political commentary on that. You actually don't need me to tell you that I think T.I.'s full of shit, right? And every podcast is gonna tell you that you listen to, probably, that T.I.'s full of shit. So I ain't really adding nothing new to that conversation either. I think people just feel affirmed by the fact that we're sharing that. Well, you know, we also want to share our opinions on other things people aren't talking about. At the first, it did feel like a drag, but let me tell you, when Karen starts talking about her relationship with her mother, trust, I have teared up a few times, multiple times. I can relate. And hearing someone else express their feelings and journey of healing around their relationship with their mom, phew, it's therapeutic. Now, were the rap lyrics fun and lighthearted? Absolutely, and I loved it. But I'm seeing now that this segment serves a purpose, and I love how y'all unapologetically have full control over your show, and I admire your willingness to voice that and keep doing you even among dissent. Love what you do. Best, Amber N. Also, P.S., an ex told me about y'all's podcast, and it's the best thing he could have done for me. Shout out to you with the positive ex.
Shout out.
Normally, it's an ex put me on this podcast. I hope he's still listening. He died rotten hell. Like, that was positive.
Yes.
So, shout out to you.
Thank you, baby. And I'm glad that you have that understanding, because that's the whole purpose. Like I said, for people, there are people that actually do a lot of reading and understanding things like that. But there are people where they're hearing these excerpts for the first time, they're hearing these us talk about these books for the first time. A lot of this stuff is new, and so it's one of those things to where I like to have the conversation with Roderick. I like that we're talking about various different things that can actually relate to today, and so we're actually talking about shit today, but in a different manner, in a different way. It's not the same wash, rinse, and repeat that everybody else is doing. And a lot of times, things we are talking about, even though they might have happened years ago, you know, for some people who might not understand and don't know the history like that, it allows them to connect the dots in a way that they might not have been thinking about before.
Also, we're giving our lives. Mm-hmm. Like, we're giving people glimpses of, like, our childhoods, our marriage, our, like, it's deeper than just, you know, it's what people take from it, but it's deeper than that, you know. And if people let it grow, they'll see that it's not always a black history thing or something like a serious issue. Sometimes it's just funny shit. Sometimes it's gonna be silly, lighthearted shit, just like the rap, you know. And also, there were people that didn't like the rap lyrics. I remember people writing in, you know, oh, so you'll play a rap lyric that says the word bitch, but you won't say. I'm like, nigga, calm down. Jesus Christ.
It ain't life and death.
Jeff M, recurring donator, thank you very much. McCole F, thank you as well. Early Daisy Photography, thank you. Michael W, wow, my phone is working. Golda S, Carter H, Marvin B, yes, Marvin B. J Fool, thank you. Asia D, Solana S, Nerds and Luxury, those luxurious ass nerds, thank you very much. And now it's loading again. Mr. Span writes in, toilet liners. Karen, I too refuse to sit on my black ass on a public toilet without a liner. Unfortunately at my job we run out of them rather quickly because you got about 170 guys at my station and a good number of them opt to take their morning constitutional at the job as opposed to home. But for me, what irks me the most is when you get the liner in that boy and you gotta go and the automatic toilet just flushes that liner right on down the drain.
Yes, it's like it reads your butt cheeks and be like, you know what? Oh, you trying to get a...
I hate that shit. Now you got clothes halfway undone, gotta step out the stall, get another one, hopefully sit down quick enough so the toilet don't flush it down again. But when the worst comes to worst and they ain't got any, I just use toilet paper because I refuse to sit my black ass down a public toilet bare.
Come on.
Y'all ever think about back in the day, like before they had all this shit and you just had to like shit in a hole in a dank ass house
go to an outhouse
with bugs and shit in it?
Fuck that.
Like I don't like ever, like people be like, things haven't changed. I don't give a fuck what they say. Things is just as, there ain't nothing changed since our ancestors. I'm like, nah, running water in these toilets though.
Them pipes, nah.
This AC though. The AC is hitting.
I've seen outside stalls. I think I even seen like an outhouse when I was in the country. I will motherfucking hold it.
Yeah. I don't even use a bathroom at porta potty. I'm good. Now the party's over, I gotta go home.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all have a good one, and by the time you read this, it'll probably be after Thanksgiving, so happy holidays, all that jazz. Talk to y'all again soon. Thanks, Mr. Span.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Summer Walker and Monique versus Kaepernick. This is from Crystal, who says, hello, Rod and Karen. I wanted to write in last week, but life happened. I'm scrolling on Instagram and I thought of the show. I think Summer Walker is aiming to be a part of the Ant Hill, Lauryn Hill, LOL. Not sure if you all heard about the issues with her Toronto show. I heard she didn't show up or something. I haven't done any research, only saw this story on Instagram, but apparently she had her fans waiting for 2 hours while she was roaming the city of Toronto with Drake. They knew this because she was on Instagram Live. The fans couldn't enter the building until she showed up apparently and was stuck out in 47 degree weather. Someone commented that she must be managed by Lauryn Hill's people. Damn. On another note, by the way, that is egregious. I mean,
yes, that is.
Cause that's not an anxiety that's thing. That's just mean and fucked up. If that's true, by the way, I don't know,
right?
On another note, regarding Kaepernick spelling, you spelled it right. Close enough. I will likely get flack. And please don't be angry about my thoughts. Well, you fucked up. Cause you shouldn't have told me. Now I'm pretty mad. I don't matter what you say.
I'm not, baby.
I had a discussion with my hubby about all the people supporting him are also the same people who clown Monique. I can't help but see the similarities in their circumstances in that they feel they are not being offered a fair chance and being blackballed for speaking out. I'm wondering you all's thoughts or if you see similar parallels but different reactions. Well, Karen, you mad now that she mentioned these thoughts?
Mm-mm.
Well, I for one am livid. Okay. Mm-hmm. How dare you compare a black woman to a black man? You betrayed the race.
No, you didn't.
I don't know, man. I think obviously there's some difference because Monique's thing was she felt underpaid. Cause they did offer her the job. She just would not do it for that cost.
Right.
And then she went and said like, we should boycott Netflix, which in all fairness, Kaepernick never asked anybody to boycott or demanded anything. Now I think it's the privilege afforded to black men. I've talked about this before, straight black men anyway.
Right.
We decided that we're gonna boycott the NFL because he's a black dude. We also decided he don't really gotta be an outspoken civil rights leader. We're just gonna make him one because he's a black dude.
Right.
Doing something very manly, playing quarterback in the NFL. So I think he's easier to rally around for people. He's also easy to rally around because he's quiet.
Correct.
Monique talks too much for the kind of people that support Kaepernick.
Right.
Cause she'll say something you disagree with. She'll voice an opinion, when she's inconsistent on things, because of her, like when she told everybody they need to forgive Roseanne because Roseanne looked out for her, she loses a big chunk of the people that otherwise would be like, oh yeah, we gotta support the good sis Monique, you know. Both of them are having basically employment disputes that are couched in like some black nationalism type stuff, and I don't know if either one of them can make the case, because you know the way I feel about Kaepernick is not as, I just feel like he's good enough to be in the league and should be playing, and I feel like Monique's good enough at stand up that she should be able to get a special, you know. I don't know what the right number to pay her is.
Right, I don't know what the right number is either.
I don't want to get into that argument. I think it's all semantics, but I don't think people were going to gather around Monique like that, because I think she has been too outspoken about too many things for people to make her the silent martyr that they've made Kaepernick.
Right, she's spoken too much to be an avatar.
Yeah, I think Kaepernick, you have a lot of people with different causes that support Kaepernick with different politics, mostly because he don't talk about shit.
Right,
like I don't know what would happen if this nigga actually was out here saying shit.
Oh, the tide would turn,
you know what I mean? Because look at how shit happened when he talked about both two sides of the same coin and why he wasn't gonna vote. Like he lost a lot of people just in that moment, and then he went quiet again, and then people let it go. And then when he wore that shirt with Fidel Castro, like, and Malcolm X shaking hands, like he loses people sometimes with this shit, even the Kunta Kinte thing.
Right.
But I think because he's mostly quiet, it's just easier to like to at least keep focused on the idea that he deserves a job. With Monique, people don't like her in a lot of cases, and they're never gonna be fair.
Right.
Alicia writes in, finally pressing send, Karen and Ross, ha. I've been wanting to write in for a while, but I just haven't done it. I've been slipping, y'all. Now some other Alicia writes into the show. Damn. Yeah, Alicia, you was late. Anyway, I wanted to throw in my two cents about Chick-fil-A. Dan Cathy goes to my church. His views are so strange to me. I don't understand how he could be a member of my church where there are so many different people, ways of life, and cultures in one place, and be the owner of a company whose name is synonymous with homophobia. The only reason the name is synonymous with homophobia is because of him.
Right, he hadn't said shit, nobody would have known.
Yeah. The Sunday after the bill was passed for same-sex marriage, our pastor made a whole speech about how he was glad that people can legally love who they love, and how the right to marry, I guess people are ridiculous because of this. Honestly, because I'm a recent vegetarian, my faux-cock marches on. Hey, go and get it how you live. Yes, the black capitalist section, my new fave. The Chinese kids in the Nike sweatshops equal. He looked at me with his little Chinese eyes from Black Dynamite. Oh yeah, I remember. That's Black Dynamite classic. Oh yes. When some random guy says, woo, during the get out of here, this is stupid clip, I laugh like it's the first time I heard it. Every single time, it's my favorite.
Yes, that one and the one you played with I feel sorry for this man. Them two always made me laugh.
Mm-hmm. Listening to y'all on half speed is hilarious, and it really picks me up sometimes, especially when I'm stressed out at work. I've heard listening to us on 2x speed. That's the first time I've heard someone say listening to us on half speed.
Yeah.
I can't wait in summer when white girls will start having their unreasonable weddings. I love this section of the show, even though the voice you use for them is the same. In my mind, they are all images of different kinds of crazy ass white girl I went to college with. Yeah, I mean, I can do multiple white girl voices, but I feel like I don't have the true range to keep it up. You know, I mostly slip to either the high pitch, sadiddy, spoiled white girl when it comes to these. But you know, if it was a wedding in the South, maybe I'll do a Southern Belle. But you know,
I forgot it is gonna be that time of the day. You know what they planning right now about March, April? You know, when it get a little warm, we'll the articles will start popping back out.
It's an art. Finally, what happened with Elon and Twib? I used to listen to the show for news. I worked around a lot of well-meaning white people at the time, but when I got a new job where I couldn't listen to podcasts as much as I used to, when I finally go back to listen. To listening, the format had changed. He was doing more stuff with Emily. Imani was gone. He was talking about being a new dad. Then Twib was gone. Every now and then, you bring up Elon and people roasted him, but I don't know why. I'm not on Twitter, so I didn't see what happened, what popped off there.
And when I fire up the old Google machine, I only get results of articles he's written. I always guess that something huge happened for him to stop the Twib Nation, but I don't know what. Oh shit, this was long, I'm sorry. Oh, and always remember, you matter, Iyanla, the other Alicia that used to write into the show.
Oh no.
You know what? That is a good question. And, I'm gonna be honest. I'm not gonna answer that. That's not my tea to spill.
No, that is not.
You gotta ask him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he on Twitter, or email him or something, or ask the people around him, cause I feel like,
that's his story to tell, baby.
Nothing positive that could have, that could come from my bird's eye view, cause I wasn't over there, speaking out of turn and being like, this is what happened, y'all. But I don't know. He got two kids now. I mean, he a dad, like.
Life.
Who knows, but I used to listen to Twib religiously as well, mm-hmm. all the way to the end, really. So, that, and then the Twitter thing, I don't know how much that was written about. Like you said, you Googled and you couldn't find out what it was. So that, I'll explain that in a second. We got to go to the break. All right. So part two, the thing about the Twitter thread, I think this is kind of widespread, so everybody kind of knows, but he was tweeting about how when he first got married, his in-laws, who were white, were basically racist and had issues with him and had issues with his wife marrying a black man, and how awkward and terrible it was, and he refused to eat or ate outside or something like that. And now it's become like embellished over time, but he was trying to write this thread to say how thankful he was for the fact that black women have held him down, and he's been able to lean on his friends to get through shit like that. Obviously, even if it is true, it's a bad look for Twitter, because people are gonna be like, you using black women for emotional labor, and then you marry a white woman. And so that was the backlash that he received on Thanksgiving. And then it morphed from like clowning that day to like, it's been 3 years now, I think. And people basically do it every year, since then, to the point where he deletes his account, and then comes back. It's probably a good social media break, to be honest, but, mm-hmm. And so that's what it became. There's other stuff where people talk about the working environment with Twib and all that stuff. I did not work there.
Did not work there.
Those are stories for them to tell. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, and they've all kind of hinted at or told their stories, either online and stuff. So I'm not going to be messy and get into that part, but
no, sir.
That's what happened on Twitter. And, because other people say he was difficult to work with and shit, then you also have an extra element of people keeping it going, because now that they're turning themselves into heroes for mocking this man. And it got real bad to me. I never participated in this shit, but it got real bad to me because like they were talking about his wife and her looks, they were talking about his child. People went to me, that's one of the reasons I don't really fuck with the woke niggas, because they're not really woke, they're just mean the other way. You know what I'm saying? Like, that harassing people and dragging people is the same shit to me. It just depends on if you agree with it or not. And so sometimes they do shit and then they claim it's for these altruistic reasons. It's just them being assholes to pass the time. And I think now that we're 3-4 years later and people still want to do it, it's really more about just them being assholes, because it's not the original point of it is lost. And it was not the kind of thing where even when he tried to explain it and clean it up, and it just, nothing ever was going to change it, because people had too good of a time that first time. So whatever work he's ever done and shit was basically forfeit. And like I said, then on the other side of that, you got people that have legitimate gripes with him that were drowned out, because no one really listened to those people's gripes, because they was like, fuck this, we got jokes and
it's party time. Yeah, right.
So it's just all jokes and calling him names and shit. And I feel not really even conflicted, but I just feel like I'm not participating in certain shit, because I think that's so fair weather to like, Elon is part of what inspired us to keep podcasting, and part of You know, I was a fan of TWIB. So, same. You know, and we were pretty cool. We met him before mm-hmm. and stuff. I mean, it's, I don't know. I just think some of this shit I just keep in, you have to keep in house for yourself, because there's no reason, and the same other thing, I wouldn't go on Twitter and be like defending him or telling everybody to chill out, because it's really not worth it. For who? For what? You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't my bed to make or lie in. And I don't believe you have to defend motherfuckers, cause they your friends. Like, if he did something fucked up or something clownable, he gonna get clowned. Ain't shit I can do about it.
Nope.
But I just don't have to participate in it. And so that was my line. I just said, I'm not gonna participate in talking shit about this dude, cause, you know, there, among the things that may have been fucked up, he's also done some good things too. And,
agreed.
You know, I'll leave other people to reconcile with how they, you know, talk about it, because there's people that benefited from him and his platform and shit that completely understood after a point, like, this is not gonna work out, and continue to fuck with him because he, you know, he's very persuasive, you know. And I think the other reason I'm not mad at him is because I just consistently stand up for myself and stand up for our show, and I'll be like, no, you know, there's plenty of shit he asked us to do that I just said no, I don't want to do that. And then when he asked why, I'm like, because if it doesn't work out, I'm gonna be mad. And so I'd rather do something with you that is fun than switch this fun shit into work, because I don't play about my work.
No, sir.
You know? So anyway, Anna writes in, hi Rod and Karen. Can you help explain why I've been waking up with the Reading Rainbow theme song going on through my head? And the words are all crisp, like when Karen sings it. Also, now whenever Ray Sani actually said something similar to me. Also, now whenever something hilariously strange happens, I always want to respond like, oh no. And I love that she's bringing back right in front of my salad.
I love that. And honey, when I found out what that meant, I was like, oh no, like that's what happened. Everybody was like, yeah, Karen. I was like, oh my bad. I didn't realize it.
I want to say thank you for all that you do. I think because of what you've been talking about, I was more ready to receive some insight from a work assigned book, and also to reflect on myself and my habits and behaviors. It also helps knowing that a relationship that appears as smoothly run and in tune as yours really does require a lot of work and checking in. So while I'm a Canadian, I had my Thanksgiving a month ago. I'm heartily thankful for both of you and your heartily thankful for both of you and your help in making me a better version of myself. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Our girl Allegra writes in, hello, Ron and Karen. This is feedback on 2000 episode. Hope your Thanksgiving day was a good one. I have some things to be thankful for. The opportunity to podcast with you two, though my husband and I have been at it for over 3 years, we've learned a lot. You both were a part of that through working with us and through us listening to you share your journey on your show. We respect you, not for your celebrity, but for your sincerity. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're not celebrities. I appreciate the fact that I'm not only in a lot of things that swirl around in my head. Hearing you and Karen discuss the shit that Mariano and I talk about is refreshing. I've always been a pragmatic thinker who has a passion for social and civil rights and equality, but that wasn't always in vogue. It's so endearing to know that there are more like me in my 40 and 50 age range group that aren't afraid to share and have grace and share it on a public platform. Okay, that's enough. Thank you always. Thanks for the shout out. It made my heart swell three sizes, Allegra. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, a lot of grace and mercy. A lot of people trying to kill that, but Lord. But it's one of those things where everybody needs it and everybody wants it, but they don't want to extend it.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing is like, I also think people are scared now to say, I forgive somebody or I'm moving on or I'm letting something go, because you really don't get rewarded for those three things.
No, you don't.
It's the Elon shit. You get more rewarded for bringing up Elon 3-4 years later, even though he didn't do shit to you. You get more, yeah. And by rewarded, I mean retweets, interaction, mm-hmm, yeah. Dopamine. You get more from that than being like, I'm gonna sit this out because I don't know that man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or that, you know, that was, you know, like, okay, it was funny at first, but now, you know, that y'all taking pictures of his wife and calling her ugly and shit, maybe that's wrong. Maybe we should chill the fuck out.
you know, and it makes you the, and that's the other thing, because of the way that group dynamics work online, you become the bad guy if you say, I think y'all might be going too far.
I think y'all crossed the line.
Yeah, that's the way they just, they eat and eat everybody who's not on board. This is from Mark. Hey, Rod, Karen, good morning. As always, thank you both for everything that you do. I'm old enough that I don't mess with social media. Seeing and hearing about the garbage that is spread there makes me sure this action is correct. I hate that you both are being impacted to the extent that you are, and hope that you are doing everything possible to minimize exposure from the more ridiculous elements. We're taking steps, man, for sure. I think part of what we do with this job, at least what I do, I don't know that I'll ever be able to completely be away from it, because
of what we do.
How the fuck we gonna promote this shit, you know what I mean? But I mean definitely taking more steps, and it's not really about social media, it's just taking more steps to be healthy mentally, period. You know, social media is just one of those things that you see in it, or I see, and it, like, it reiterates over and over to me, like, why you can't really take it seriously, or you have to be careful with it. That said, I appreciate when you provide context and clarity on internet stories, where other outlets ignore for the sake of content. What few stories there are about Patrick Patterson, the NBA player, supported the impression that he flat out referred to black women as bulldogs. Granted, his actual statement was too imprecise for a written medium, but too many outlets went with the errant interpretation. Waiting until after the apology, the context that he was responding to a comment off his Instagram post was enlightening. This might be more of a question for Balls Deep, but is Patrick Patterson that major a presence in the NBA? No.
Mm-mm.
Not that I follow sports, but I've never heard of this man before this article.
Same, baby, same.
Yeah, Patrick Patterson.
I would not know this man if he delivered me Papa John's pizza.
Yeah, he's not exactly a household name, which is another reason I thought it was funny, because this.
I hate to say it. I hope I don't sound ridiculous. I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street. I wouldn't know a thing. Sorry to this man.
This the other reason it's funny. Like, I know other niggas was mad, but it's why it was funny to me. He only gonna be known for this. Like, this even funnier now, cause it's like, damn, nigga, you fucked up one time. This you forever, and you never gonna be able to clear. It's like
when somebody Google your name, this is what's gonna pop up.
It's like an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where, like, Larry's trying to explain, like, no, I don't think black women are bulldogs. I'm saying this man has an ugly wife that looks like a bulldog. She just happened to be black, and we're gonna be like,
really though?
I don't know. You married to a white woman? You in the NBA? So it's fucked up, but it's funny. Not that I follow sports, but I've never heard of this man for this article. I do not know what you're sadder. The person who follows an NBA player just to talk smack about his marriage, or the NBA player responding to someone obviously that a troll. Bro, he fucked up when he responded. But I mean, yeah, both are fucked. I mean, oh, man. That's a good question. I don't know what's worse. I can't picture me following any motherfucker on any platform to be mad at them.
No, I don't follow for mads. I follow because I like you. I follow big butts, like, you know.
I just don't know why people follow, like, Trump even. Like, I don't, unless it's your job, I don't even want to know what this nigga got to say.
Mm-mm.
Let me guess, some more racism? Wow. Anyway, keep up the great work, and I appreciate the reading rainbow moments that you started doing at the start of the show. Amazing. Amazon should hook y'all up in some way, because I have literally gone straight to one click off of a couple of the books you've excerpted in the past few weeks. Thank you.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Maybe we should make an Amazon link. Oh, that's work. No.
That's work!
Yamalee writes in, hi there, Rod and Karen. When I heard about the 504 Queens from Louisiana, the first thing I thought about was the ladies that do the walking out the door for Mardi Gras. If you haven't seen a video, I've included one of the lady buck jumpers. They are too cool, and this is how I imagine the 504 Queens walked out of the theater to jump into the manager's face. You go, 504 Queens. I'm trying to think, is this that video where that gif where the two women are walking in sync? Is that the buck jumpers? I have not heard these women. I'm sorry.
Mm-mm.
They did include a video. I'll try to put it on screen so we can all watch it together as a family.
Okay.
But you know my computer. It likes to move at the speed that my computer likes to move, which is whenever the fuck it feel like it.
Give me two. Give me one more.
Actually, I'm trying to pause it so the other screen has time to go there.
All right, because okay. I was like, we don't see nothing.
Shout out to Candace H, Justin J. They donated, recurring donated. Chriselle, our girl Chriselle, shout out to her. Adam S, Yvonne M, and NEP. Michael S, Tom W, and that's everybody. Wow, we
Ooh,
did it.
We made it to the end of the list.
Took us an hour. Alright. Is it showing? No. It's trying to show it.
Okay, it's coming. There you go.
Okay, alright. Now let me see what these ladies is working with, because I don't know these ladies like that. So this is some New Orleans shit. I heard the, yeah, this gotta be New Orleans live. Man. Oh, let me go back because it's kind of freezing on my screen. I don't know if it's freezing on y'all's. Oh, like they just be sashaying out. They got feathers. They wearing all yellow. First of all, every woman that is showing so far clearly makes a mean macaroni and cheese.
Come on, you know that potato salad be banging. Probably make they biscuits from scratch and they cornbread too.
Okay, that is some mean, that is a Thanksgiving you'll never forget walking out of this door in this yellow. I just want you to understand that. But yeah, I've never seen it before. Oh yeah, I mean, listen, you know these women went and saw Harriet in the theater.
You
okay? Be goddamn, they let you woke niggas ruin Harriet for them.
They don't give a fuck about what y'all talking about.
Cynthia Erivo, Cynthia Strava, I don't give a fuck. I'm watching this Harriet.
I
know that much.
Harriet,
y'all not gonna mess up my Harriet. I guarantee you.
Have to put your wig on. We going, girl.
Now, I'm not 100% sure if I'm pronouncing it right. It's either Catania or Catania, who writes our last email. Happy Thanksgiving, Karen and Rod. Happy Saturday, Rod and Karen. If it's your lady, Catania or Catania. I've been laying low the past couple of weeks. However, I've been listening. As always, you two are amazing and engaging podcasters. And in this season of gratitude, I just want to let you know that I'm grateful and thankful for you two, the content you create, and for sharing your views, life lessons, and humor with us all. Since it's been a while since I've written in, I'm going to quickly summarize a couple of things that have stood out to me. One, the addition of the Reading Rainbow theme music, love it. I admire that you were able to make a joke out of that. Every time you play the song now, I can't help but have a smile on my face. Number two, Fighting for Your Joy. I don't quite remember if that's the name of the episode. However, I remember you and Karen broaching this topic a few weeks back. I totally can relate to what you were saying about fighting for what brings one happiness and joy in life, in spite of what other people will say. In reflecting on how I've been fighting for my joy, I realized what surprised me along my journey is realizing that my parents can be unsupportive when I try to do something that is outside of their vision of what is acceptable in my effort to find my bliss.
Right.
For example, a year after I graduated from grad school with a master's in international affairs, I left the position in the study abroad grad school with a master's in I left the position in study abroad department at NYU and procured a 6-week unpaid internship in a small contemporary ballet company because I wanted to move into the direction of arts management and administration. Since it was unpaid, I got a health food store in order to keep some money coming in during those 6 weeks. When I informed my parents of what I was doing, they both reacted very negatively. First of all, shout out to you, because that's like something off of like This Is Us,
right?
Like that, the balls to be like, you know, or the ovaries to whatever, you know, to be like, yo, this ain't it. I'm about to go do unpaid internship and get a part-time gig because this, I'm not happy doing what I'm doing. Black people just do not normally get to do shit like that. Like, I'm like, is this a TV script? Because normally, black people shit is...
Normally, this is some shit you hear about Becky doing.
My dad commented that this was something that only high schoolers do, work as a cashier in a health food store. My mom stated that I didn't love myself. Wow. They were shouting so much that I shut down and left the house and went to an art gallery a couple of times over to cool down. It was hard to have them react this way, and while it's been 4 years since this incident, I realized that I had to find support from people outside my parents. I've been blessed and surprised to find and have found support for my career change from a couple college friends, my younger sister, co-workers,
for my part-time jobs and even parents from the dance studio I volunteered at. In saying all this, I guess I wanted to add that I'm in fighting for your joy. You can be surprised who really does not support you, and that you still that you should keep going and fighting for it anyway.
And how can I say this? A lot of times in parents' fear, they do more harm than good. In the fear of, you got this degree, you got this education, in their mind they feel like you ought to be making money, you know, so their quote-unquote anger was coming from a place of fear, you know, them not understanding, them not seeing your vision, you know, because parents can't see a child's vision because the vision isn't theirs, the vision is yours. And so for a lot of parents, you have to almost do shit, and then eventually they'll slowly come around. It should not have to be like that. It's sad that they have to be like that, but it's almost like you have to prove the parents wrong before parents are like, oh, okay, this shit ain't that bad, because the initial response was complete out of fear.
Yeah, the cost of being wrong or failing for a black woman and black person is normally considered so high, so steep, that our parents think they're protecting us by telling us, don't try to live your dreams, don't get too ambitious with your supports, don't take don't take too much risk. Every person that you see that's black and like pursuing some type of artistic endeavor normally don't have the support of their parents, you know, or you have to like work hard, as Karen said, to already be doing the thing, and then they go, okay, I think you can do the thing. And it's not, you know, unfortunately, I hate the way that it happened, that they were yelling and shit like that. Correct. That's terrible, you know, and you would almost hope that they would want that moment back, but I don't know your parents or whatever, so I don't want to assume. But that's, you know, that's a horrible thing, you know, moment. But at the same time, it's like they do it out of love and protection. They just don't understand that it's traumatic as well. You know, it reminds me of Queen Sugar when Micah chose to go to a HBCU instead of the white elite school that his mom wanted to go to, and she freaked the fuck out and yelled at him in front of everybody. And yeah, it does come from a place of wanting your kid to do the best, but at the same time, it's that your kid will always remember that moment. Mariah Carey, number 3. I went on your website looking to leave a comment on the last This Too Much episode when I stumbled upon your 2 guest spots on Music Ate My Brain podcast episodes. Praise to the almighty Mariah Carey. I thoroughly enjoyed it. This might be to your point, Rod, where you stated that Mariah has succeeded at not having her private life derail or detract from her musical success. I was surprised that you all did not mention her first marriage to Tommy Mottola, the head of Columbia Records, back in 1993. It was rumored that he had a controlling nature, which is why her first albums were a bit more poppy and why her first videos attempted to make her seem racially ambiguous and more cutesy. I've heard that before. Once they separated in 1997, Mariah was able to exercise more control over her music and her image, hence why her album Butterfly, which was released in 1997, was a big deal. The video Honey marked the first time she got to be more sexy, and that the album leaned more heavily in the R&B hip-hop sounds. Just wanted to put that out there. Yep, love Mariah, that's our girl. I feel like this email is pretty long, so I'll stop here. Love you too, keep being amazing, and I look forward to hearing your voices soon. Have a great break whenever you two take it this week. Recharging is necessary. Love, Katanya. Thank you. Yep. But yeah, I feel you, and that sucks. I don't know how you and your parents feel now, or if y'all are able to heal that or whatever, but I hope you guys can at some point, if you know that, because yeah, that just sucks, man. That's everybody, that's all the feedback. This is a long feedback episode. Mm-hmm. 2 hours, but this is it for the week for us as far as the main show. I do owe y'all a This Too Much, so y'all get that, but that's about it. So we'll see you guys in a week, and until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.